Good morning, everyone. make sure that I'm being heard. Good morning. Good. Welcome, everyone, to the Awakening Together Sanctuary Home and to our weekly gathering. The way we like to start is to reach over the virtual pew and say good morning to our brothers and sisters who have joined us here this morning for our online church service. So I'm going to turn the mic back over to Lynn so that she can play our opening song and we can greet one another. So I love you all. Good morning. And here's the mic back, Lynn.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. We are awakening to a long forgotten memory. Dawn is breaking, waves are coming in. Everybody here standing in wonder beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love.
Thank you, Lynn. Good morning, everyone, again. Awakening together. Let me read you our purpose. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. Thanks, Barb, for posting that. And the core value, we have five core values, and the one most applicable to my talk today is the one that it seems I most often choose. So it's the, and I realized as I prepared my message for today, it's the same message. It's the same one. And I'll continue to preach the same message until I get it. But the core value this morning that I want to focus on is core value number 3. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. All right, so before we get into our message, let's look at some announcements. Okay, all right, first of all, tonight is our movie discussion group. Our spirit-led movie discussion group meets at 8 p.m. Eastern Time tonight right here in the Sanctuary Home. The movie we will be discussing tonight is Lars and the Real Girl. If you haven't seen it yet, be sure and watch it prior to our discussion at 8 p.m. tonight. It's available on pretty much all the services. I think I watched it on Amazon Prime. Again, it's Lars. There it is, Lars and the Real Girl. What we recommend doing is saying a prayer prior to watching the movie. You know, just asking, of course, to be led in your watching of the movie by Spirit, so that you can see what you need to see. And then we recommend journaling after the movie to see what you came up with, and then we'll talk about that tonight at 8. So it's a great group. We watch a different movie every once a month, and we meet on the fourth Sunday of each month to discuss our revelations that we've gained through our movie watching. So we hope that you can join us. we hope that you can join us for our spirit-led movie discussion group tonight at 8. And then directly following that discussion group, beginning at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Gina Lake will present the third week of her 8-week mini-series, Busting the Illusion. Gina is not only a very clear teacher, but she also presents in a very clear way. Her style is easy to listen to. As you listen, realizations keep popping into your own mind. So even if you missed the first two segments of her miniseries, come tonight and discover just how clear her teaching is. Yeah, it's Gina Lake, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, right here. My third announcement is about our fall retreat. Awakening Together will host its fall retreat this coming October in Colorado Springs, Colorado. There will be three retreats in a row. You can register for one, two, or all three retreats. Our three retreat leaders this year are Regina Dawn Akers, Brent Haskell, and John Mark Stroud. Hey. right now I want to share a little with you about Regina's retreat, which is October 23rd through the 27th. Her retreat is titled Fine Tune Your Awakening Skills. Regina will offer a retreat that is more focused on practice than theory, although some theory will be presented in order to help understand the impact of practice. Throughout the week, Regina will offer workshops and practice periods focused on meditation, contemplation, journaling, inquiry techniques, mind watching, and awareness. Regina is very interested in helping everyone who attends this retreat to see their ego more clearly so they can transcend it more often, learn skills that will help them uncover more ego beliefs and habits, have realizations that move the teaching from the realm of intellect to direct experience, discover how each practice is an important part of the undoing and realization process, answer questions that participants need answered in order to get to the next step, realize how loved they are so they can feel safe as they continue the awakening process. This retreat begins at 6 p.m. on Sunday, October 23rd, with dinner at the Franciscan Retreat Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and ends with lunch at noon on Thursday, October 27th. You can register for this retreat as well as the Brent Haskell and John Mark Stroud retreats at Awakening www.ministry-together.org. And Barb has put the link up there in the room. Just click on the events. Just click on events on the menu bar when you go to awakening-together.org and select 2016 Fall Retreat in Colorado Springs. Like I said, Barb has put that full link on the board, but for those of you listening on the radio, go to events and select 2016 Fall Retreat in Colorado Springs. Let me switch gears here a little bit. All right. At this point, we will switch gears a little bit. We'll have an opening song to help us begin to settle in so we can be in a position where we can receive the message that we're to receive today and hear what we need to hear. So I'm going to turn this mic back over one more time. Glenn.
to be loved as to love. To be loved as to love.
Thanks, Lynn. Yeah, it's a lovely, lovely version of St. Francis' prayer. Thank you for sharing it with us this morning. At this point in the service, in our order of service, we have an opening song or chant. And what I'd like to do is, I'm sorry, we did that. Is the invocation. I apologize. the opening prayer. What I'd like to do is to read to you another of St. Francis' writings, and that is the Canticle of Brother Sun. I'd like to read that to you as our prayer this morning. Most High, all-powerful, good Lord, yours are the praises, the glory, the honor, and all blessing. To you alone, Most High, do they belong, and no man is worthy to mention your name. Be praised, my Lord, through all your creatures, especially through my Lord, Brother Sun, who brings the day, and you give light through him, and he is beautiful and radiant in all his splendor. Of you, Most High, he bears the likeness. Praise be you, my Lord, through Sister Moon and the stars. In heaven you form them, clear and precious and beautiful. Praise be you, my Lord, through Brother Wind, and through the air, cloudy and serene, and every kind of weather through which you give sustenance to your creatures. Praise be you, my Lord, through Sister Water, which is very useful and humble and precious and chaste. Praise be you, my Lord, through Brother Fire, through whom you light the night, and he is beautiful and playful and robust and strong. Praise be you, my Lord, through Sister Mother Earth, who sustains us and governs us and who produces varied fruits with colored flowers and herbs. Praise be you, my Lord, through those who give pardon for your love and bear infirmity and tribulation. Blessed are those who endure in peace, for by you, Most High, they shall be crowned. Praise be you, my Lord, through our sister Bodily Death, for whom no living man can escape. Woe to those who die in mortal sin. Blessed are those whom death will find in your most holy will, for the second death shall do them no harm. Praise and bless my Lord, and give him thanks, and serve him with great humility. Amen. And now, I'm going to turn the mic over to Kathy Smith, who is doing our reading this morning, Living the Prayer of St. Francis with All of Creation. And Kathy, please take the mic.
Thanks, Jacqueline. Good morning, everyone. As Jacqueline just said, this is called Living the Prayer of St. Francis with All of Creation. There is probably no saint more revered and well-known in all of Christian history than St. Francis of Assisi. Today, Christians, and many non-Christians alike, celebrate the life and legacy of this medieval Italian man who is known the world over for his exemplary life of holiness and model of peaceable living he leaves to us nearly 800 years after his death. Just as he remains a popular figure across many cultures and religious traditions, there is probably no Christian prayer more popular, with perhaps the predictable exception of the Lord's Prayer, than the one that bears the name of this saint from Assisi, the prayer of Saint Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Many people are shocked to learn that the prayer most closely associated with Saint Francis was not actually written by him. In fact, the prayer called the Prayer of St. Francis is generally believed to be only about 100 years old, a creative and sincere prayer penned by an anonymous French writer. Over time, this anonymously drafted prayer became linked with the spirit of the 13th century friar, whose continual striving to follow more closely the gospel of Jesus Christ led to a renewal in the church at many levels. Ultimately, I don't think it matters very much that Saint Francis isn't directly responsible for this prayer, because although St. Francis never actually said or wrote these particular words, he lived the prayer with his whole life. And when we do look at a few of the authentic writings that we do have from the Poverello, the little poor man of Assisi, we see the values, insights, and spirituality of the Franciscan tradition reflected in this now classic prayer. The most well-known writing of Saint Francis is probably the Canticle of the Creatures, in which the saint from Assisi poetically praises God in and through various elements of the created order. The fundamental spiritual insight of the Canticle is that each aspect of God's creation gives glory and praise to God by being what it was created to be. The sun praises God by giving the world light. The wind praises God by bringing every kind of weather. And the earth praises God by sustaining us through producing fruits, flowers, and herbs. all of God's creation perfectly praises God because each element does what it was intended to do. Near the end of the canticle, St. Francis finally introduces human persons. He writes, "Praise be you, my Lord, through those who give pardon for your love and bear infirmity and tribulation. Blessed are those who endure in peace, for by you, Most High, shall they be crowned." Human beings give praise to God. They live most authentically as they were created to be, through loving one another amid difficult times, and by being peacemakers who seek reconciliation. Just as the sun is most genuinely itself when providing light and warmth, women and men are most truly themselves when they love, forgive, and make peace. In this sense, the so-called prayer of St. Francis reflects the spirit and outlook of the man for whom it is named. The prayer is a petition to God that we might live up to the true way of being in the world that God intends for the human family. To be most authentically human is to be an instrument of peace, or, to put it in the sense of the prayer's following lines, one who sows love, one who sows pardon, one who sows faith, one who sows hope, one who sows light and joy in our world. In the first part of the prayer of St. Francis reminds us about whom we should strive to be in asking God to help us live out that identity. The second part of the prayer is a reminder of what not to be. In a word, selfish. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be understood, desiring to be loved, or seeking forgiveness from those we've hurt. But living after the example of St. Francis, whose whole life was modeled on the life of Jesus Christ, means putting others first and caring for the rest of creation in a way that reflects our interdependence and family relationship. It is a call to remember who we really are in the eyes of God. See who others are from that same perspective and act in a way fitting our identity as human beings. St. Francis once wrote to his fellow friars, "All creatures under heaven serve, know, and obey their Creator, each according to its own nature, better than you." Admonition 5. Unlike the sun or wind or water, you and I have the capacity to choose to live in accord with our truest selves or ignore it, to praise God by our words and deeds or not, and to recognize our place in the family of creation or pretend that we are above and apart from it. The prayer of St. Francis offers us a chance to pause, pray, and reflect on who it is that we are and what it is that we are created to do. As we mark this day in honor of the great peacemaker, lover of all creation, and icon of holiness from Assisi, may the prayer offered in his name show us a way to live today as it reflects the way St. Francis once lived in the world. For it is in living as authentic human persons, fully alive, that we become instruments of God's peace, and like St. Francis, our whole lives can become a prayer. And that is the end of our reading, and I will release the mic. Thank you, Jacqueline, for asking me to be your reader today. I appreciate that.
Lovely. Thank you. Thanks so much for reading, Kathy. Beautiful job. Beautiful reading. So, pardon me. Let me tell you how I came to today's reading. So I was having some relationship issues that really made me, that seemed quite traumatic to me and really made me stop to look at what was going on. I'm trying to find my notes. I felt somewhat rejected, somewhat abandoned. And I think that this St. Francis prayer, and I think what we just heard in the reading is that this is because of a misplaced perspective. This is because of my attempt to look outside of myself for validation, for sustenance, for right, it's my need. It's that selfish need that was talked about in this article that was the problem. It's not the other person, right? It's the perspective. In fact, it's the perspective of the I. It's looking at the world through the I thought. It's looking at life, looking at love through the I thought, that is the problem. And in fact, Tom and I were talking about some of this last night, and he said, and I quote, "The love comes automatically when you surrender the I thought." Yeah. Because the I thought, of course, is who we think we are. But what's really under that is the authenticity of who we are, and as the article kept referring to it, the authenticity of being a human being. But the authenticity of who we are is the love. And it's the I thought that blocks the love. So let's see. I realize that the more trusting I am, the more inspiration comes through. So while I feel like I have immersed myself in these materials and the ideas surrounding this, I don't have a clear direction this morning. So if I fumble, please forgive me. Yeah, so, as, And the article, by the way, was written by a Franciscan friar, Daniel Horan. After reading the article, I looked him up to see what else he had written. In fact, I think it says here, he's the author of Dating God. and it's not dating him like carbon dating him, right? It's like dating God. It's in that relationship with God. Yes, Dating God. It's a sweet book. In this book, he talks about what we were just talking about this being a relationship with God. And how do we have a relationship with God? It's exactly what St. Francis talks about in his prayer. It's the focus of our attention and our awareness. It's about what St. Francis talks about in his canticle. The canticle of brother son or the canticle of creatures. It's where are we focusing our attention and our awareness? Are we focusing it on in this relationship? Are we focusing it on ourselves? Is that where we're coming from? Are we focusing it on the creation of God? God is in everything we see. God is in everyone we see. And the question is, how do we relate to that? And if we're relating to that from an awareness of seeing God in everything that we see, and if we start with that side, if you will, of the relationship, then we can truly have a relationship that transcends the personal self. And just as I've lost his name, I'm sorry. Daniel Horan told us in his article, the fundamental spiritual insight of the canticle is that each aspect of God's creation gives glory and praise to God by being what it was created to be. All of God's creation perfectly praises God because each element does what it was intended to do. So how do we live that? How do we live that? We live that by doing what we were intended to do. We weren't intended to focus on our personal needs. We weren't intended to worry about what I need. We weren't intended to be selfish. We learn to become authentically human, as David Horan said in the article, or our authentic selves by giving, not by getting. We talk often about selfless service. In fact, I'm teaching the Bhagavad Gita now. And this idea of selfless service is talked about quite a bit in the Bhagavad Gita. And it's interesting because when you look at the idea of selfless service, the emphasis is, normally we put the emphasis on the service. But the emphasis is on the selflessness. It's more about a way of being than about a way of doing. Are we being selfless in whatever we do? Are we thinking of ourselves first, or are we being selfless? You know, there's a story in a book, The Flowers of St. Francis. It's translated book. And it's a number of stories that are gathered to tell about St. Francis's life and his teachings. In fact, there's a found a 1950s movie about it. It's a really cute movie, The Flowers of St. Francis. But there's a story about it. So, and in the story, St. Francis is explaining what is perfect joy. And he's like, you know, perfect joy is not teaching to the masses or having the gift of prophecy or, you know, none of these things that we would associate with perfect joy. And, you know, so the brother asks him, he says, well, what is perfect joy? And he says, well, imagine that we are cold and wet and muddy and we finally make, you know, we're walking through the rain and the mud, and we finally make our way to the monastery, and we say, let us in. And the brother who's watching the door says, you can't come in. We don't know who you are. And they're like, you know, we're two brothers. We're two servants. And the guy at the door says, you can't come in. You're liars. You're thieves. Go away. He says, that is perfect joy. And what he's talking about is the humility in that. Because if you're turned away that way, you know, they're not recognized for their service. They're not recognized for who they are. You know, well, we're part of this group. No, we're not recognizing you for that. The perfect joy is the fact that is the humility in that. It's the surrender of who it is that you think you are. As you surrender who it is you think you are, you surrender the ego. You surrender the allegiance to the ego. You're willing to give up that attention, that perspective, that need to be somebody, to define yourself as somebody, to be identified as somebody. The goal here, as we hear again and again and again, is death of the ego. Because as Tom said, the love comes automatically when you surrender the I thought. We have to get this person that we think we are out of the way. And the way we can do that is to begin to practice what St. Francis tells us in the prayer. You know, as he said, the second part of the prayer is an entreaty to let go selfishness. Grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. It is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. This dying that's talked about, right, to die for life, this dying that's talked about is the death of the ego. And as Daniel Horan tells us in his article, he says, putting others first and caring for the rest of creation in a way that reflects our interdependence and family relationship. That's the goal. It's a call to remember who we really are in the eyes of God and see others from that same perspective. We've talked about this before. I've talked to you about this before. We've talked about seeing through the eyes of wholeness. That's the choice that's talked about here. Seeing through God's eyes. Seeing through the perspective of the unlimited nature of who we truly are, as opposed to the ego belief that I don't have enough, that I can't have enough. What have you done for me lately? What am I getting out of this relationship? How is this relationship serving me? That way, you know, that way lies madness, right? That way will never bring you happiness. If you're seeking to get, you will always find yourself lacking. You will never get enough. There was no one out there who can give you what you need. The only way to get what you need is to know that you already have what you need, is to give it. And as you give it, you will find that it's yours to give. You will find the fullness of self that is within you. Regina writes, in yourself, you just found your best friend. So, I made some notes and they're all scribbles. I do want to talk about, you know, it was interesting to look at this, and very, very helpful, of course, but just to look at the whole Franciscan tradition, and I was able to do that through Daniel Horan's book. You know, what are the Franciscans about, right? And I find that they're about two things: prayer and contemplation. Daniel Horan says, prayer is a way of living in the world, a position or stance that is ongoing communication with God in relationship. And the second aspect that the Franciscans focus on is contemplation. And Horan quotes St. Bonaventure to explain contemplation. He says, we can contemplate God not only outside us and within us, but also above us. Outside through his vestiges, within through his image, and above through the light which shines upon our minds, which is the light of eternal truth, since our mind itself is formed immediately by truth itself. He also describes St. Bonaventure talking about original sin as being man bent over. I thought about this metaphor actually when I was talking about, you know, well, I've been so wrapped up in work, and I'm, you know, I've got my nose to the grindstone and I'm bent over and I'm doing this and I just don't have time for all these to look out, right, on God's creation, right, to look out and to appreciate God's creation. But this is exactly what St. Bonaventure is talking about. Being bent over is being bent over into ourselves, into our selfish tendencies. And what we need to do instead is to be lifted up by God's presence. And how are we lifted up by God's presence? We're lifted up by God's presence by changing our focus, by looking at the world around us through the eyes of God, by looking at our relationships through the eyes of God, by giving ourselves over to that perspective, by removing our focus from ourselves to the whole of God's creation. So what's really asked of us here, or what's asked of me, is to move from an immature view of love. Gee, I feel lonely, I feel abandoned, I feel like I need these things from you and I'm not getting them. To move from this immature view of love to a spiritually mature view of love. To one where I'm giving love. To one where I see that love is not about getting. Love is not about fear. Right? Love is the opposite of fear. We've learned that. How many times have we heard that? Love is about giving out of our abundance. Love is about getting the I out of the way so that we can participate in our abundance by giving it to other people. Okay, so, you know me, I like to talk about practical application. So, how do we do this? Well, we practice. We practice allowing the ego to be diminished. We can practice it in really simple ways. We can practice it in traffic. You know, I just love traffic because it's such an immediate representation of, you know, where reflection of where our heads are at. So do I race to get around the guy because, you know, that I see coming up in on the left hand side before I get caught behind this truck, or do I slow down and get in the right hand lane? Let him go by. Do I, when a guy cuts me off, am I upset and am I trying to, you know, show him who's boss and I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna get ahead in this traffic lane and show him, or do I drop back into the passenger lane, to the slow lane and let him go by? Am I attempting to repair my ego when somebody says something to me I don't like? Well, you don't know, right? No. Or do I back off? And do I allow my ego to be diminished? You know, what our habit is all the time trying to repair ego, trying to build ourselves up, trying to hold ourselves up. So that if somebody says something to us, you know, questions our authority, questions our knowledge, questions who we think we are, our tendency is to come right back at them, you know, show them who we are. You're not going to talk to me that way. So the practice is to see that, is to see that decision point and to practice letting go of ego. We have all day long, every day, we have opportunities to do this. And the only way we're ever going to get that I out of the way, that I thought out of the way, so that we can experience the love that's underneath, is to diminish the ego at every opportunity we have. That's what St. Francis was talking about when he was talking about perfect joy. This is the joy. This is the joy in being able, oh my goodness, I've been given the opportunity to let go of who I think I am again. Praise God. This is the joy. So let's see these opportunities to let go of ourself as opportunities to step into the fullness of who we are, into the love of God. Let's look for opportunities to extend love to the people around us. So, let's look at this prayer, if I can find it here. I can't. Let's look for opportunities to sow love, to give pardon, to bring faith, to give hope, to bring light, to bring joy. That's the fullness. That's extending the fullness of who we are. There's always, we've seen lots of opportunities throughout our lives to see the injury, to see the doubt, to see the despair, the darkness. It's time to switch that around, to do what we're called on to do here. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. So if we're seeking to be consoled, if we're seeking to be understood, if we're seeking to be loved, let's remember that that's my opportunity. Thank God I have the opportunity to transcend the I thought and to console, to understand, to love. There's one other thought here, just with this idea of selfishness. I don't know who said it. Could have been Regina. Could have been Jesus. I don't know who said it. But I heard somebody say a few weeks ago that the only reason we're ever upset with somebody, maybe it was Moody, but the only reason we're ever upset with anybody is we're upset with them for being selfish. And if you look at that, you'll see that's true. And why are we upset with them, right? They're selfish to the exclusion of who? Me. Yeah, so let that be a trigger for you. Let that be a different kind of trigger for you. When you find yourself upset with somebody, look and see if you're not upset for their selfishness. And then realize that the selfishness is yours. Realize that it's a perspective. If you're seeing selfishness, it's because you are looking through the eyes of the false self. In that situation, extend. Right? Take the opportunity that St. Francis has given us. Take the opportunity to console, to understand, to love, rather than pull that selfishness to yourself. Remember, it's in dying that we are born to eternal life. Remember that love comes automatically when you surrender to the I thought. Okay. All right. I think I've said all I have to say. Now I'm looking for the order of service. What we'll do at this time is Lynn is going to play us a song, and we're going to take this opportunity to contemplate St. Francis' teaching, what's been said here today. We'll also have an opportunity to contribute to Awakening Together, and we appreciate your donations. Barb will post a link. But take this time to contemplate St. Francis' prayer. I'll let go of the mic.
natural end of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me so love. Where there is injury, pardon. And where there is doubting, let me bring your faith. And Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is despair, let me bring your hope. Where there is darkness, your light. And where there is sadness, let me bring your joy. O divine Master, grant that I might see not so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, and not so much to be loved as to love another, for it is in giving that we now receive. It is in pardoning that we are now pardoned, and it is in dying that we are now born again. And of your peace, where there is hatred, let me bring your
Flynn. Okay, it's now your opportunity to share whatever you would like to share, and we would all love to hear from you, from your perspective. So, Regina, take the mic.
Hi, Jacqueline. Hello, everyone. That was just beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. A couple of things that I want to share. You know, you talked about, I think it was a book or something, or a comment in a book about dating God. And, you know, that really reminded me of Michael Langford's teaching in the book, How to Live a Life That Knows Only Love. when he's teaching us the loving consciousness method of meditation. Listen to this description. He says, here's a way to look at it. Loving consciousness is similar to falling in love. You spend time with someone. You watch them. You observe them. You do not yet know them. You continue to observe them. You don't have expectations because you don't know them well enough yet. You continue to observe them. Some days you have pleasant feelings while you observe them. Some days you have unpleasant feelings while you observe them. You continue to observe them. Every day you come to know them better, even though you may not be aware that you are coming to know them better. Then one day, suddenly and unexpectedly, you fall in love. Loving consciousness is similar to that. Just don't expect anything and continue loving your consciousness. The fact that nothing is happening is great. If it seems like day after day, it is just the same, only loving consciousness that is great. Just remain content with that. And you know, it occurs to me, you know, you said this started with personal relationship issues and maybe wanting to get something out of the relationship, like wanting to be loved, wanting to be understood. You know, in that personal relationship, we have an opportunity to practice falling in love, not expecting anything from, but just watching and falling in love without expecting anything from. And that's amazing, because if we can learn that with a person or even with an animal or even with life circumstances itself, right? If we can learn that skill of not expecting anything, just watching and falling in love, we can then take that to God. We can then take that to what we call awareness, consciousness, true self, presence, and we can begin to fall in love with it. But if we go to God with expectations of what, quote, enlightenment is like or anything like that, we're bringing that same selfishness into our relationship with God. So, for example, in your relationship with Tom and my relationship with Ron and Jasmine and, you know, all of that, we are just practicing so that we can then sit down and really fall in love with God, which is to fall in love with our true self. And as you also mentioned, that's continuing the practice of diminishing the ego. It's really all one. So thank you very much. I'll release the mic.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Regina. I was thinking the same thing as you started talking, that it, you know, it's really an interpersonal relationships are really an opportunity to practice my relationship with God, and my relationship with God is an opportunity to practice my interpersonal relationships. It's just, it's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. Jay, please take the mic.
Yeah, thanks, Jackie. Yeah, it was beautiful, and thanks for being willing to share, you know, when you're going through stuff. That's awesome. I wasn't able to do that in my intense tooth pain recently, but sometimes the inner struggles and pain can seem just as intense. But you know, I appreciated the message and St. Francis quote and the prayer, and you know, I thought of the wooden statue of St. Francis down at the old mission Santa Barbara in California, how it has had rotted out. And the area of where his heart was, where he was holding a bird, had fallen out, creating this big hole. And I joked with one of the friars about, I guess that just means that St. Francis has such a big open heart, right? That there's such an open space there. And so he thought that was funny. But, yeah, I really appreciate the message and the reminder to practice for the self, you know, and what Regina said too, because it's so true that we see this And the reason we're upset is because of somebody else acting selfishly. You know, we're not getting what we want. And the place is to practice and is always within the self, is to find that receiving through the giving and to do a big reversal on that rather than continuing to stay upset and to try to seek that from the other person. You know, is absolutely the only way to maintain the inner peace, because people will never act in the ways we want them to, right? And, you know, there's a quote out of this How to Live a Life That Knows Only Love book, which I've been studying every day in chapter 6, which is, you must love yourself. This love of self is of paramount importance in your search. In fact, you can never find the self as long as you condemn, criticize, or belittle yourself. You can never find yourself by believing yourself to be a miserable sinner. It is not good enough just to tolerate yourself. Tolerance is but the positive side of negative intolerance. What is required is love of yourself. It is not only to thine own self be true, but also to thine own self be love. Love as yourself, capital S, as you are. And that was the very last quote of chapter 6 by H. William Cooper in that How to Live a Life That Knows Only Love. So, giving up the mic.
Okay, for sharing. Yeah, How to Live a Life That Knows Only Love. I am not reading that book. Sounds like I ought to be. Lynn, please take the mic.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jacqueline. A beautiful topic this morning and wonderful, wonderful teaching and discussion. And, yes, the talk about the selfishness. What is it that makes us selfish is a fear that there is not enough. A fear of lack, a fear of belief that God gave something to someone that they didn't give to someone else. There's a whole idea of inequality, is a whole belief that somehow or the other I have to struggle to get my what I deserve. And so as long as I believe that, and I believe that God made differences between us and gave you something that he didn't give me, then I'm going to continue to covet what you have. And for me, that's been the biggest struggle, because, you know, I don't have to say because, that's everyone's biggest struggle, I think, is once you realize that, that the motive that you have for doing so many of the things that you're doing is to somehow or the other get ahead. The whole idea of getting ahead is saying, I want others to be behind me. I want to get more, to somehow or the other have, you know, become awakened or enlightened. And let's see how much more awakened or enlightened this person is than that person. And, oh, this one must not be that awakened or enlightened because they said this or thought this. And again, the whole idea that some people have something that other people don't have. And it's just not true. It's not possible. It's spiritual materialism, and it is a trap. And so, looking at my motives for whatever I do, I'm either doing it from a selfish motive, as in, I'm trying to get something before you get it, or, or take it away from you. I just know I need to have it. And, if you got it, then you must have stole it from somebody else too. So, you know, this is the way the world works. That's why that whole selfishness thing is so, so backwards. So being selfless then is to recognize that we are all equal and no one has anything that anyone else doesn't have. We all have the same thing and we're actually in the same place. We are all equally the same, awake, enlightened beings that we've always been and never been anything different. And if I'm seeing you as something other than that, then then what I will be doing is if I'm seeing you as being anything other than that, what I'm doing then is pointing out the difference, and I am attacking. And so this is why Jesus said, you know, Jesus is the name of a man who saw the face of Christ in everyone he saw, and so he remembered God and became associated with the Christ. This is why our relationships with everyone must be in looking for the face of Christ and looking for the heart, the being of who they really are, and seeing and knowing that they're equal to you, excuse me, is so helpful and so useful. And when you do that, when you open yourself up to actually truly seeing what another person is, you will fall in love. You will fall in love, and you will not be able to stop it, because that is your true self seeing their true self as well. And so to be an instrument of God's peace, to be a channel of peace, is to be the one who is constantly looking for the Christ in everything, everywhere, and finding the Christ have brought peace. Even looking for the Christ have brought peace. The intention of wanting the Christ has brought peace. And that really is the only way that things really work to bring us to that place that one would call enlightenment or awakening, is by doing just for that very thing. Anyway, that's my thoughts on this. And here is the mic back, Jacqueline.
Yeah, thanks, Lynn, for sharing. And while you were sharing, you know, it occurred to me, and I don't want to start a whole new topic, but just to say that the problem with selfishness, the problem from seeing from the I perspective, is that that is a belief in separate selves. And there are no selves that are separate. So that when I look out through the eyes of God, I see only one self. So there's no one to get ahead. There's no one who could be lacking. All is. And it's very simply put, all is. We all are. There is not one self that looks at another self, true or untrue. It's all oneself, and that's the real issue here. That's the real problem with selfishness, is I developed this idea about what I need, and so I've automatically gone to separation, and then that's the problem. Guys, it's been fabulous. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share with you here. I love you all dearly. Thank you for being my family, for being on this journey with me. I love you, and I'll turn this mic back over to Lynn for the fellowship. Bye.
Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, where there is darkness, where there is sadness, joy. So much deep to be consoled is to console.